Thank you. You may be seated.
All right. Good to see everyone back tonight. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and looking forward to the Word of God tonight. But it is a great thing that Jesus rose from the dead. And we had a good service today, a good number of people out. That's a blessing. And so we just look forward to what God has for us this evening. And we're going to go ahead. I'm going to ask Benjamin if you would come and pray for the service this evening.
Dear God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this Sunday that we can again come and celebrate your resurrection. And thank you for rising from the dead the third day. I pray that you'd help us have a good service tonight and that we would all listen with open ears. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hard to find one I don't love. Let's turn now to number 34. Number 34, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Let's sing it out. If you know it tonight, and boy, I hope you know your Redeemer liveth. If you don't, you're of all men most miserable. If you don't know your Redeemer lives. And I dare say, if you don't know your Redeemer lives, I'm not so sure he's your Redeemer. Because how can you believe in the one who is risen if you don't know he's risen, right? Does that make sense? I'm confusing myself, but it's real. We should, if we're saved, we know that he lives. So let's sing it out like we know it. Here we go.
I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth my hand shall stand. I know eternal life he gives. Grace and power.
stand as we sing the last.
I know my mansion he prepareth, that where he is, there I may be. Oh, wondrous that, and he at last will come for me.
So announcements that we have coming up, the King's Kids Carnival will be Wednesday, and decoration will be tomorrow from 6:30 to 8:30 to get all the booths set up in the basement. So we're looking forward to that, and everybody do your part in it. And I know it is a whole team effort for that to take place. So I know this Wednesday will be a little thin in the auditorium, but that's okay. We will still be here, and I'm looking forward to the message that we have for Wednesday night. And then Saturday, May 3rd at 10 a.m. will be the mother-daughter brunch. So please sign up if you plan to attend, and I would encourage you to attend. Mothers, daughters, it's at 10 a.m. on May 3rd. The cost is $3 for girls 10 and under, $7 for everyone else. And I'll meet with the men this evening that can help in the preparing of the food and the serving in the choir room right after service, or shortly after service, at least. So we'll do that and get that organized, because these things, you think, it's a couple weeks out. They come faster than a freight train. They just come right on through, and so we have to be preparing all the time ahead of time for all of these things. And then if you would get your photo taken for the church directory, and again, you don't have to be a church member for this. If you come regularly, of course, we encourage you to become members. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to join the church. We want you to do that. But even if you're not and you come regularly, it's good to have a directory where people know who you are. Okay, and then there is a sign-up on the table out in the foyer. If you got your picture taken, write your name, write the names of each family member that are there, and we'll have that included. And then if you want your address and phone number listed in there, write that. If you don't want it listed, just don't write it, and it won't go in. And then once we get the directory all done, we'll print it, organize it, and everybody can have a freshly updated one. It also works as a very good prayer guide. To be able to look at, and you know, but we've got so many in our old directory that are already in heaven, they don't need prayed for anymore. They're good. Maybe they're up there helping pray for us, but we don't need to pray for them anymore. So those are the announcements that we have. And just keep one another in prayer. Do remember to pray for the Goodsons, pray for Angie, and also pray for Mrs. Tanksley's ankle, and she's been just really struggling with that and is looking probably in another month or two at some surgery on that. So pray for that, and it'd be great if it would just heal. That'd be fantastic. Nobody likes surgery, and there is no minor surgery unless it's on someone else. That's the standard for that. So anyway, we want to be praying for those things, and I'm sure there are many needs, and so we want to be praying, holding one another up in prayer always, and just watch God work. Okay, we've got some rumbling going on there. Like in Samuel, the thunder came down and the people repented. So, you know, hey, it worked for them. So, okay, we're going to have the children are going to come first and sing their special, and then we'll have a song, and then we'll have another special right before the preaching.
All right, if you'll take your hymnals, turn to number 200. Whoo, that was scary. That was almost jump rope. Number 232. Number 232, tell me the story of Jesus. We'll sing the first and the last here. Number 232, let's stand as we sing.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. On the third, tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Thank you. Please be seated.
They say that Jesus is dead. Though they mock at his name and bring him to shame, I believe all he has said.
I believe that Jesus lives and he alone can save.
I believe he bled and died. And he rose up from the grave.
I believe his word is true and makes a firm foundation.
I believe his precious blood can bring salvation. In a day when Satan seems to win, in a day when men fall time of confusion and sore disillusion, as Christians we must all say,
I believe that Jesus lives and he alone can save.
I believe he bled and died and he rose up from the grave.
I believe his word is true and makes a firm foundation.
I believe his precious blood can bring salvation.
I believe his word is true and makes a firm foundation.
I believe his precious blood can bring salvation.
Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start by reading verses 14 and 15. And I'm going to preach a message tonight comparing the talents that are given by the Lord to his servants. And I want to look at that as compared to the talents of family. the talents of family, because God has definitely given to us men a wife and children. If you have a wife and children, God has given that to you. And that is something that He has invested in you, and you are a steward of your family. And so the Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 14 and 15, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." So what we have is a man, he's going away, and he is entrusting his goods. He's entrusting what belongs to him into the hands of specific servants, servants whom he has chosen, servants to whom he has said, okay, I believe this man can handle this much, and this man can handle this much, and this man can handle this much. And God gives them, according to their ability, what God will say, "I want to invest this in you." The servants, their job was to take the master's goods and to develop those goods. And we'll look at this passage. Let's pray and seek the Lord for this tonight. Father, we need your help. God, I pray for our men tonight. Father, this message, there will be applicational parts for every person. But I pray especially, God, that you would help our families. And God, we are in a society where the family is bombarded, where children are bombarded with the world and everything in it, where there is more exposure than could possibly be imagined back in the day when I was growing up. Father, I pray that we would take this responsibility as a steward of your goods, that we would take that seriously. God, that we would take what you have entrusted to us and that we would do our part to develop what you've given us for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so God has delivered his goods into your stewardship. As we look at this, my wife and my children, first and foremost, they belong to God. And your wife and your children belong to God. And somewhere along the way, for me it was almost 30 years ago, God entrusted me with a young lady and said, "This is going to be your wife," and I married this young lady, and then God entrusted me with 3 children, and God says, "These are now, they belong to God. They're His children first and foremost." My wife was saved, my children eventually got saved, and they belong to God. But God gave them under my care in this world, and it was my responsibility then to be a steward of my family in order to develop what God gave me for His glory. So the man is responsible for himself, and we'll see that in another message. But the man, look, there isn't someone over you except for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's pastoral authority, there's somewhat of a church accountability and all that goes along with that, but each man is the head of his family, and that will be another message that we'll look at probably next Sunday morning, the man being the head of the family. So the man is responsible to live his life, each man is responsible to live his life before God, following God, serving God, living for God. And then God puts underneath that man his goods. God being the overseer, the master, if you will. And God says, "I want to then give these to you." Now, a wife has some level of influence on her husband. That's for sure the case. Children also have an effect. But ultimately, a man makes his own decisions for himself. A wife does not, once you're married, does not have that same freedom, that same privilege, if you will. A wife is then under her husband. Now, that can be a great thing, and if the man is what he ought to be, that's a wonderful thing. If a man's not what he ought to be, I look at some situations, I feel bad for women. But if the men are right,
Boy, that woman, she's come along, she's cared for, she's taken care of, provided for. That man loves her as Christ loved the church, and it's a good thing. Then children. Children have a mom and dad, and children have no control over their mom and dad or over who their mom and dad are. And some children, they've got a mom and dad that love them, that care for them, that pour into them, that bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And some children do not have that. God is for all children. And every child needs to know God. But if you're in a Christian home, it's a privilege to be in a Christian home. It is a privilege to have a dad that knows Jesus Christ as Savior. It is a privilege to have a mom that knows Jesus Christ as Savior. So God has delivered His goods into your stewardship. And I want us throughout this message tonight to consider that your wife and your children belong to God. And you have temporary oversight of your wife and of your children. The second point tonight, you have a responsibility then to develop your family spiritually. Matthew 25, verse 16 through 18 says this, Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he also that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, he didn't do that because he only received 1 talent. Everyone had the opportunity to work with the goods that God had given them. And every man has an opportunity to work with the family that God has given to them. The man that had 5, he didn't go out and just get 5 because he had 5 to begin with. He went out and got 5 because he was entrusted by God, and he felt that responsibility to take this and say, I have a responsibility to my master, I have a responsibility to my Lord to go and develop his goods. And the man that got 2, he felt that same responsibility, and he did equally as well with what was given him. And the man that had 1 went and buried his talent. He did nothing with them. God forbid that there would be a man who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and he would do nothing for the spiritual upbringing, the spiritual maturing of his wife and children. What a tragedy that would be. And so we have a responsibility as a man to develop our family spiritually. I want to talk about first your relationship with your wife, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And the first portion of the chapter deals with the ladies and how that they can be an influence on their husband. But verse 7 picks up with the men. And it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, and giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So he speaks to the husbands. And that husband, he says, look, you've got a wife. That wife belongs to God. What does the verse say? It says they are heirs together of the grace of life. Man, you are saved. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. God is your Father. Well, if your wife is saved, then she is also an heir together of salvation and eternal life. So you are in this together, but the man needs to realize certain things about his wife. And those things are this. He's to dwell with them according to knowledge. A man needs to learn his wife. Now that is a lifelong, never-ending task that you may never accomplish. Because women aren't men. And men aren't women. As much as society may think otherwise. They're uniquely different. But we ought to know our wife. We ought to know what makes them tick. We ought to know how they think. We ought to know how they emotionally respond to things. And it says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Your wife is not your little home slave. Your wife is the weaker vessel. Your wife is someone that you are to give honor to. And by the way, if you honor your wife, your children will be more likely to honor their mother. And if you dishonor your wife, your children will be more likely to dishonor their mother. And the last thing in the world you want is children that dishonor their mother. God forbid that that would happen. And God forbid that you would allow that to happen. But it is a tragedy when children grow up and they don't give honor to their mother and to their father. And it goes both ways. As under the weaker vessel, we need to understand that your wife is not a man. She is weaker. She has more needs. She has more emotional responses to things. You can't weigh the burden of everything on her, though she's there to help you and be your help meet fitted for you. You need to look at it and say, I want to be the husband that will help my wife be what she ought to be for God. And that takes a level of us as men saying, I need to put away all of my ideas and my thoughts and everything, and I need to be in consideration of my family. I need to be considerate of what their needs are. It's not all about me. Nothing worse than a selfish man, because a selfish man isn't going to care about his wife. He's not going to care about his children. It's his way. And that man, somewhat we described certain aspects of that in last week's message. Encourage your wife to be feminine. You see here that the wife is not a man. She's a weaker vessel. Men, we need to encourage our wives to be feminine, to be ladylike, to live ladylike. And that's an important thing. I want you to notice as we continue reading, because this verse starts and then it goes with communication. Verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Now, this is, ye husbands, dwell with them according to honor. And then it gives an all-inclusive, but it's right after this. So men are to have compassion, men are to love as brethren, men are to be pitiful, and men are to be courteous. Courtesy is something that's becoming long lost, isn't it? Men are to be courteous. You know what courtesy shows? Courtesy shows that you care for someone other than yourself. Courtesy shows that you're thinking of others. Good manners show likewise. But then look at this. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Sometimes something pops up between a man and his wife, and they don't see eye to eye on things. And maybe one of them starts the yelling match, and the other responds. Whose responsibility is to stop it? It's the man's. It's the man's responsibility to stop that. What happens so often? One gets going, and then what? The other gets going. And then that one gets it higher, and pretty soon it's elevated to a level, and people are out of control, and people are saying things that they shouldn't be saying. And sometimes those things dig deep and hurt bad. And here's the bottom line. Men tend to take an apology. They get over it pretty simply. Yeah, it's over. Like, men can have a fight with each other and the next day be best friends. Ladies have a harder time with that. They get wounded. They get hurt. It goes deep. And so we need to be very careful, and it is the man not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called that ye should inherit a blessing. You know what? When you and your wife are existing together in unity, it's a blessing. When you're fighting, it's a curse. But the man leads the home. The man guides the home. the man needs to be the bigger person that says, she may be screaming at me, I'm not doing it back. She may be having a hard time with me right now, I'm going to demonstrate love. Isn't that what Jesus does for us? It goes on and it says, for he that will love life and see good days. Now, how many of you want that? I love life. I want to see good days, don't you? Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So he says, if you want to have a great family, if you want to love life together as a family, he says, you need to watch the tongue. The tongue can destroy a lot of things. Some person might say, oh, I would never hit my wife. But you might give her a lashing with the tongue that does every bit as much damage emotionally. He says, the eyes of the Lord are watching. Now, what did it say in verse 7? That your prayers be not hindered. Verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. This relationship between a man and his wife has a direct effect on our prayers to God. You got a need that you want answered, you better have things right with your wife. Because there's a direct correlation. If a man is wrong with his wife, I believe God puts this in here because God knows that if a man is wrong, what's a wife to do? What option does she have? The world would say divorce. The Bible doesn't believe in divorce. God doesn't believe in divorce. So, but what option does the woman have? Can she leave her husband? Well, she could, but she wouldn't be right with God. And so God says, look, I am going, men, you are going to be held directly accountable for your relationship with your wife, and it's going to affect your relationship with God. If you're not right with your wife, you're not right with God. Then it says, and I want you to remember this, you have your wife for life. That's a long time. If you live long, you might as well learn to get along, right? Wouldn't it be more enjoyable to live 60 years together with someone that you get along with than live 60 years and have nothing but conflict? Then we have the upbringing of your children. Ephesians 6:4 says this. Ephesians 6:4. Says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. How you deal with your children. And there's two things here. My father pointed out to me one time. He says, there's two parts to this wrath. What is the wrath of God referring to in one hand? Wrath of God is referred to as hell. You could read this and say, fathers, provoke not your children to end up in hell. And you could also say, provoke not your children, that they end up with a wrathful spirit. Children should be the happiest people in the world. They should be. It's the way God designed it to be. Children don't have the cares of this life. But when mom or dad aren't right, it definitely affects the children. It says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, the Bible, in Proverbs, it deals with some principles to be taught to children and different things. But you know what? When the Bible addresses fathers, it doesn't say, teach your children to play ball. It doesn't say, teach them to be a mechanic. It doesn't say, teach them to, you're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is the instruction given to a father. And so God has given us a wife, God has given us children, And we're instructed how to deal with our wife and how to deal with our children. And it is the father's job to bring up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, your wife is going to do all kinds of things with those children. But you don't walk away and say, you teach them the Bible. You don't walk away and say, you make sure that they're spiritually inclined. You don't step out of the family and step away from your role as the spiritual leader of the family. It is your job. It says, fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is a father's job to rear your children for God. Your children are temporarily yours. They are going to be yours until they're roughly 20 years old. And then they're still your children, but they're going to go on with life. And they're going to step out into another realm of life. So rear your children to serve the Lord and also rear them to fulfill responsibility. We desired, as our children came up, my wife and I were unified together in the fact that we want to serve the Lord together as a family. We want to participate in that. Our children need to know that we love serving God. Our children need to know that we love the Word of God. Our children need to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It means we're growing them up to be spiritual beings, to want and to serve God, to want to live for Him, to want to participate in the ministries of a church and serve others in a church and take what God has given them and use that for God. And God gives each people different things that they can use for Him. But it was like, that's the goal. Now, did they learn other things along the way? Absolutely. But there was nothing more important than that they learn to live for God, that they learn to serve God. That's the most important thing. But you teach them both to serve the Lord and to fulfill responsibilities. People can get this out of whack. I know a man who, in saying he was serving the Lord, he completely neglected his family. The man was constantly, and this is way back from my past, the man, he was at the church all the time, doing all kinds of physical things around the church. That's not a bad thing. But he did so to the neglect of his family. I think maybe he wanted to be away from them. The end result was his children grew up and did not continue serving God. He did not bring his children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He could have very easily said, come along, let's serve the Lord together. No, he looked at it as an escape. I know another man that claimed that he read his Bible just several hours a day and failed to provide his family. And in order to keep from starving, the wife had to go to work. That's not spiritual. But a man ought to read their Bible every day. But a man also needs to provide for his family. And so there's the balance of family, caring and providing for your family, and service for God. And it can go the other way too. I know a lady who was involved in absolutely every ministry of the church. Now, when I say ministry of the church, she taught school several days a week. She sang in the choir. She was out for 5 hours every Saturday visiting her own bus route that she ran. She was Sunday morning out at the bus route. You walked into her house, and it was just a complete dump. And the man didn't have a wife. She was married to her job, if you will. That didn't end well. It doesn't end well. So as we bring our children up, they need to look at life and say, hey, we serve God together as a family. And let me say this too. I try very carefully to watch and make sure that no one is overloaded with ministry in the church. We need to be serving God. When I first came, there were people, they were teaching Sunday school class, and then they were in a junior church every week, and I'm like, okay, they're not even in church. They're here present, but they're not in the preaching. And we took that and tried to divide it up. King's Kids on Wednesday, what did we do? We made two teams. You be in here for 2 weeks, you're in there for 2 weeks. There's a reason for that. We need to be balanced. We need to be fed as Christians, and we have responsibilities to do. You need to teach your children to stand for right. You need to teach your children to stay clear of wrong. They need to recognize wrong and be away from it. You need to teach your children to stay away from worldliness. Boy, the world creeps in multiple different ways, doesn't it? So we need to teach them that. You have a responsibility to develop your family spiritually. Thirdly, Matthew 25, 19 through 23. Matthew 25, 19 through 23. And I'm thankful. I believe to a large degree my father did what he could to try to develop us spiritually. I remember one of the greatest things that helped my life as far as prayer was concerned is in family devotions he read the book John R. Rice by John R. Rice, Prayer, Asking and Receiving. And boy, it could not have come at a better time in my life. And I got a hold of praying and saw God answer prayers, and it was so necessary and so needful, and I'm so thankful for the time he took saying, hey, let's read this. Now, it was teenage years. You're probably not going to read that to this age. But there comes a time we need to always be nurturing, bringing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I was glad my father, as a teenager, we drove 50 minutes to go and go out door knocking together. And he didn't have to do that, but he did it. And he did it in order to, hey, let's go. And I was excited about it. We would go up and join the other men from the church. We'd go out together and go door knocking. It was a good time. But it was also, we had a trip to take. He would go through. He had trouble remembering the verses. He would go through and try to recite those verses in his head, get them fresh in his mind once again. And his statement, I wish I had learned these verses when I was younger. See, it's bringing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There will be a reckoning, is the third point, Matthew 25, 19 through 23. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. There's a reckoning. The master's coming back. God holds us accountable for the talents that he has given to us. God holds us accountable for our wife. God holds us accountable for our children. It's important. And so there's a reckoning to be had. And as we continue reading, he says, verse 20, and so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So faithfulness, as we read through verse 23 there, faithfulness brings reward and blessing. These people took what was given them, what was entrusted to them, they developed it, and when the Lord came to take account, they said, hey, this is what happened. That's a blessing, isn't it? And he says, enter into the joy of the Lord. You don't have to turn there, but 3 John, there's only one chapter. Verse 4 says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. See, if you'll take the talents God has given you, as a husband, you're leading. You're guiding your home in a godly direction. And the end result of that is joy. There's what greater joy than to see your children still living for God as they become adults? What greater joy than to have a relationship with your wife and when the children are gone, you and your wife can still serve the Lord together? What greater joy than that? But there's a reckoning. And the reckoning comes, I want you to consider some questions. As if God were to say, hey, I'm giving a reckoning on my talents. Did you invest in what God gave to you? Men, are we investing spiritually into what God gave to us, the talents that God gave to us? Are we investing spiritually in our wife and in our children? And we need to consider that. Did you enhance your wife's spirituality? Again, the man, he takes and lead that home in devotions, praying together. And don't do it like this. Colleen said one time when her biological parents were started going to church and didn't last very long, but they started going to church. Her mom comes home, threw the Bible at her dad. You're supposed to be reading this to us. Now, that was wrong on her part. That's not the right way to go about that for you ladies. It's the man's job. And if the man doesn't do it, you can't say, you should be. That's not the way it works. But men, we'd better be. It's our responsibility. Did you enhance your wife's spirituality? Did you encourage your wife to not be worldly? Look, this world puts a lot of pressure on women. And I'll say, especially in the area of dress. What Christian spiritual man wants a worldly wife? Look, this world pushes and presses on them. They're under this pressure to conform to the world, to not stand out like a complete oddity. But God's people are peculiar people. And men ought to encourage their wives to be non-worldly in their dress and in their appearance. And part of doing that, you better compliment them more when they wear what's right. They better not see you. You're walking down together and your wife's dressed modestly and there's some sleazy thing comes walking by and you're going, that's not going to encourage your wife to want to be modest and proper and right. So we need to think about this. And men, we need to look at it. We need to encourage our wives not to be worldly. We should not be introducing worldly things. We should definitely not be taking our wife and comparing them to something on Hollywood or something like that. Did you encourage her to serve God? Well, I want her just to serve me. She needs to serve God. God's her heavenly Father. People have spiritual gifts that they can use for God. And everybody in a family ought to serve God. Do you encourage her in her service for God? Do you pray for your children? You've got children, God gave them to you. Do you spend time talking to God about your children? Praying for their attitudes, their spirit, praying that you'll see the things that need to be corrected in them. We need God's vision as parents. There's a whole lot of people that don't see anything. And I'm thankful for my wife, she saw everything. But God helps with that. And boy, you got children that are coming along or growing up. You need to see the areas in their lives where they need correction. You need to see that. Men, we need to see it. Men so often just go by oblivious. Their kids can be doing all kinds of crazy things. The men are focused. One-track minds, that's what we are. We need God's help. Did you teach your children the Bible? Did you show them and demonstrate a love for God's Word? It doesn't have to be, we're going to have a one-hour devotional session. But get the family together, sing a song with them, pray with them, read a Bible verse. Hey, here's a good verse for today. As they get older, pick a good book to read to them. Because they need to learn about God and they need to learn it from Dad. It's important. Let's look on the other side of this, Matthew 25, 24 through 30. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. Now look, there's a reckoning. I knew thee, that thou art an hard man and reapest where thou hast not sown and gatherest where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Hey, I got my children in this state and I did nothing to develop them further. I got my wife in at this age and I haven't helped to develop her spiritually in the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. There's a reckoning. His Lord answered, verse 26, and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? He gave back to God everything that he got, but he gave it back in the exact same way he got it. And he did nothing to develop what his Lord had entrusted him with. And God refers to him and says, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. You could have done something. Maybe you're not the best at this, that, or another, but you could have done something. You could have demonstrated some love for God. You could have demonstrated some love for the Word of God. You could have demonstrated some level of faithfulness. You could have demonstrated, you could have given them a verse from the Bible. You could have prayed for them. And with this, he says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now on the one hand, there's joy. I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth. On the other hand is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I want to make this statement. And I don't make this statement for anybody whose children may have gone astray. I'm preaching right now and I'm making this statement for all of these little ones that are in here. Men, I want you to look ahead and I want you to picture your children in the worst possible wicked scenario that you could think of. The thing that would grieve you the absolute most. You've got ideas in your head. And you think about your children. You think about your children. Think about your children. And think about, if I don't bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they could end up in fornication, marrying a lost person, completely out of church. You picture it. And with that in mind, would you please picture the responsibility that you have over the next 15, 20 years to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Look, if we gripe and complain about serving God, what do you think is going to happen to our wife and kids? I want to finish with Luke 16, 1 through 2. Luke 16, 1 through 2. says, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. Steward's the same person as was given to the talents. A different parable, a different thing. Same thing. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. Give an account of thy stewardship. See, there's going to be a reckoning. And we can stand before God, and God could say, you did a pretty good job with your wife and children. Or we can stand before God and God say, I entrusted you, and you were wicked and slothful in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You may have been the hardest working person on the planet in some other area. That's not what God's saying. God's saying, I've invested in you. Your wife and your children are a gift from me. They are, but they're still mine. And I'm investing in you. You have a responsibility. And men, we need to take this seriously. We live in an age where it is harder and harder to bring children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord because of everything that's around. The influence of relatives. The influence of people that claim to love God. And yet they abide in wickedness. Man, there is a protection that needs to take place. And we have that great responsibility. I'm not getting into all the hows and whats tonight. This, I just want you to grasp this. Would you grab a hold of the responsibility that God has given you tonight? Would you grab a hold of that? I'm going to do something a little different, the invitation tonight. Anyone's welcome to come and pray. I want men to bring their children down to the front tonight. Gather them round. And we're going to have a couple men of the church pray for the men and the children. If you're a man and your children are with you, bring them with you. If you're a man, you've got children still in the home that you're still bringing up, I would encourage you to come. And we want to take a few minutes tonight and pray for the children that God has given us as a church family, but that God has given you specifically, because we need it. We need God's help. We need God's help. Let's stand to our feet. I would just encourage you, go ahead, men, you come with your children. Bring them down. Gather them around you. Kneel down here at the altar at the front pews. I'm going to ask Brother Reed, would you come and just pray specifically for these men and these children? Would you come ahead, please?
Father in heaven, Lord, we pray that you would be with our families of our church. We pray that you'd be with these men. Lord, it's an important responsibility that you've given, but Lord, you've given the power to do it too. Lord, in our flesh, we fail in these things, but Lord, in your, as we walk with you, we can have victory, we can do what needs to be done. Lord, help us to know that in our flesh, we are weak, but Lord, you, as we celebrate today, the resurrection, and we have a living God that can help us. And Lord, we rely upon you, and help these men, Lord, to rely upon you and to be seeking your face for themselves so that they can pass that on to their children. And Lord, that they can live for you with a good spirit, not a complaining spirit, not a, oh, we got to do this attitude, but Lord, that it would be an attitude of love for you and love to serve you. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage these men and help them to see what a great treasure they have, and what a great gift has been given to them. And Lord, that they would seek your face in multiplying that and strengthening that and making it strong for you. Lord, the world is raising kids for the world, and to go that direction. But Lord, we love you, and you are our Heavenly Father, and we seek to raise children and grandchildren and so on, Lord, that will honor you and put you first. And Father, help these men to seek first your will and your way in their life and be able to lead their families in the same. Lord, we pray that you'd bless them and empower them, strengthen them, Lord. Help them to know that they're not alone. They have your great power to be victorious in living for you and leading their families. Pray this in Jesus' name.
Father, we continue just praying tonight, God, asking that you would help each man here to determine, God, to walk in your spirit, and God, to use your spirit to help them bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God, we need it. God, I pray that men would be able to look ahead and see the great need now, to be able to see a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. God, I pray that you would help our church to do everything that we can to enhance each man's responsibility. God, help me to preach those things that are needful and necessary, and to preach it straight from the truth of your word. God, the burden is great. I pray that you would help. I pray, Father, that you would help, Lord, as we look 20 years into the future, that these young people would be still serving you. God, we know the tendency of churches across the nation is to lose better than half. God, help us. God, we desperately cry out to you, knowing that we need you in the rearing of our children if they're going to turn out right. God, you've told us in your word, train up a child in the way he should go. Father, we are humanly incapable of that. So God, we need your help. We need supernatural help to accomplish this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could just keep your kids here for a minute. I want to bring Barrett up tonight. Barrett, would you come here a minute? Barrett's been asking his father some questions about salvation. And last week he asked me a little bit about it. We talked a little bit and just kind of left it. I told his dad, I said, if he's serious about it, he's got conviction, he'll come asking. Today, of his own accord, he came and asked me. He says, I need to talk to you about getting saved. And so Barrett trusted the Lord to save you. He asked Jesus to save him today. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. I'm very cautious with the young, and we understand that. But, you know, it starts somewhere. And we just trust. It's simple. Salvation is simple. But it starts somewhere. So you pray for Barrett, that Barrett will now live for Jesus, right? He said, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And that's just a blessing. That's a blessing. You can go back down there, but children, stay here. I've got a little present for each of you.
Except for the teens and Jacob, okay? You're probably not gonna want this. That's okay. It's for the little ones, okay?
Okay, so let me have the Let me have the boys starting from the oldest. So Josiah, Isaiah, Zandon, let's see, Gad, Elijah. Okay, how old are you? Okay, and then, boy, do we have enough for the boys? Barrett? Micah, did you get one yet? Remington? All right. Is that all the... Oh, and the littlest guy. Can you come get it? There he comes.
just a little resurrection gift for you. Okay, and then girls, we'll start again with the older ones. Okay, so Raina, Dixiana, Liliana. Go. Abigail, it's tied in my finger. And there you go. Okay. And you guys want some? Jacob, did you want? They're just some little things, but they're focus. What's that? Yeah, you can see my wife. She'll give you candy. All right. This is an important thing. You know, children, they need to love church. They're going to love church if mom and dad love church. They're going to love the Bible if mom and dad love the Bible. They'll love serving the Lord if mom and dad love serving the Lord. Faithfulness is important, but the attitude with which we serve is also vitally, vitally important. And we, every one of us, we need God's help in this. We need God's help. I've told you many times, I pray more for my adult kids now probably than I did for them when they were younger, because they're not under my wings, if you will, anymore. There's a certain level when a parent has them, they're close by. Yeah, you turn them loose. They need God. They need God. Every one of us do. All right, thank you. If there's anyone else that needs their family picture taken, see Benjamin right out here in the foyer and get your family picture taken for the church directory. Men that are going to help in the banquet, if you could come right over here into the choir room and help. Ladies, if you come with your mother and daughters, sign up together to come to the banquet. I hope that you'll participate in it. It's a church activity, but it's spiritually orientated. It's a fun thing, but it's also a spiritually guided thing. So I hope that you'll sign up to come, mothers and daughters, for that banquet, and it's out there. If there's ever anybody that can't afford it, just let me know, and we'll cover it, okay? Really. Now, if you don't just come and say you can't afford it, but if you truly can't, honestly, we want everybody to be able to come, okay? All right. Very good. You are dismissed. Have a great week. Live for God, and see you on Wednesday. And